Welcome everyone to iloverealestate.tv and the podcast we're doing today. Now, what we're going to talk about today is a very important topic. And as you know, at I Love Real Estate, what we do is we cover a broad range of all different aspects to do with property investing. Everything from, you know, legals and structures and tax right through to, the strategies and how to implement them and how to replace your income and all of those sort of things. Today, what I want to talk about is a particular topic to do with taxation. Now, if you're not an accountant, the words I'm going to say right now probably won't mean a whole lot to you. But if you're in this accounting industry, you realize just how much Big Brother really is watching you. So the words I'm going to talk about are data matching. And it really is, Big Brother is watching you. Now, to help me out with this, I have the beautiful Carmel from Investor Accounting Network. Hey, Carmel, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Great to have you here.
Thanks.
So data matching, you know, the way the tax office runs our taxing system is that we are basically on trust. We have to lodge our income as it is, you know, as we think we're earning, etc. And then we claim whatever legitimate tax deductions against that. Whatever we've got left over, that's what we pay tax on. But not everybody does that, obviously, and therefore it's very important that the tax office has some way of making sure that everybody is doing what they're supposed to do. One way of doing that is this thing called data matching. Now, you and I would probably get, 2-3 notifications a week,
yeah,
on something new that the tax office is now reviewing.
Yeah, so they're throwing a lot of money towards data matching. So the amount of updates that they are now doing and the amount of data matching that's going on now has increased hugely in the last, 6 months.
And obviously that's due to the, huge information that they can get now hold of through computers and analogs that they're writing on in the computers to pick up differences and variances between one set of information and another.
It's that, as well as a lot of other agencies now sort of working with the tax office more closely.
What sort of agencies are you talking about?
So I'm talking like banks. I'm talking about, the tax office is now working with credit agencies.
Wow.
Land Tax, Office of Estate Revenue, they've done for some time. With motor vehicles as well. So anything where there's stamp duty that they can track, so for cars, for properties.
Mm.
So they're using a lot of other means and throwing a lot of money at that to get that information.
So let's backtrack a little bit. Let's just work out how the data matching actually comes to be. Because you're declaring a certain amount of income and a certain amount of expenses against that. They then look at that and see whether that's appropriate for the things that you're doing, like the properties that you're buying or the stamp duty that you're paying or the land tax that you're paying or, all of these other things through the government departments to make sure that your income that you're declaring would be reasonable for you to have that level of activity.
Yeah, so they're looking at your lifestyle, the way you live, what assets you have, things like your everyday expenses. Does that match what you've declared to the tax office?
Mm. And they're getting quite ingenious with some of this. You were talking the other day about how they're actually using social media to check up on things. This is getting pretty scary.
Yeah, when I read that one, that was pretty scary. So that's a new one that's come out last week, and they've got a dedicated team to looking at.
Team to play on Facebook.
It's not only Facebook. They're looking at Instagram. They're looking at social media in general. And the idea behind that one is if you've got photos of your four kids dressed in, private school uniforms, which is obviously expensive to send four kids there, and you've got tax returns declaring $20,000 as income, that doesn't look right. So
in that kind of scenario, what would they do? What's the next step from that?
Well, obviously, if they're seeing that sort of stuff, they're going to trigger an audit. They're going to investigate further, look at your sources of income. They're probably then looking at cash economy as well in a bit of a way, because
cash economy has been a big thing with them for a long time.
And again, that's data matching. They're looking at things like eBay stores. So they're looking at where are you earning other sources of income for cash that you may not be declaring. So it opens up a wide range of other means to look at as well.
Because a number of years ago, they actually subpoenaed all of the records from like Gumtree and eBay.
Yeah, Gumtree is another one, yeah.
Yeah, and and saw, you know, what you were selling and how much you sold it for and whether you declared it or not. And
So they're looking at how often you're doing things. If you've just, you know, listed something on Gumtree once and that's it, then that's legit. But if you're continuously listing things on Gumtree, then they're looking at, you know, is that technically income? Why haven't you declared it?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it can be everything from dresses and shoes and handbags right through to, you know,
cars, anything. Anything.
Yeah. And quite often, we talk about cars there. Cars is something that if it's being used for any business purposes, quite often the income that's made from cars is not correctly reported and not always claimed as income. If you sell it for more than the written down value, you're supposed to declare that as income.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realise that. So we're talking about here where you're using your car for work-related purposes and you're claiming that for that means. So where you've sold it and you've depreciated it, then there's obviously an adjustment there that needs to be taken into account, and that could be income.
That's right. And it's not picked up quite often.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so, you know, if these things aren't being picked up, how far can they go back?
The tax office can go back as far as they like. Okay, so...
You've got to keep the records for all that time.
Well, there's ways of finding information out now. So if I take it a step further, for example, the tax office are going back through property transactions back to 1985 at the moment.
Wow.
So that's when capital gains tax first came into play.
Mm.
And then from 2000 for GST. So if you're a property developer, but you didn't see yourself as being a property developer and you've paid capital gains tax on the sale of a property, should you have paid GST?
Yeah.
Now, you might have sold that property 10 years ago, 5 years ago. You don't need those records anymore.
For normal tax purposes.
Yeah. But the tax office has enough information to go back to these authorities, being, you know, Office of State Revenue, banks, anything else they've got, to work out this information and determine if there should have been this liability and how much.
Mm.
So they've got a lot of information. To go back to 1985 is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And with GST, you know, that's a big thing too, because some people don't realise, and I mean, not some people, a lot of people don't realise.
A lot of people, yeah.
They could go and, you know, buy a piece of land, build an investment house, rent it out for a couple of years and then sell it and think, well, I built an investment house, declare the income that they might have made by you know, selling that. They might have had a profit. But what they don't realise is this actually should be GST. 1/11th of the sale price on that should have been remitted to the tax office.
Yeah, that's really common. So we're talking about, you know, your average mum and dad person that goes, I'm going to go to this estate, I'm going to buy this block of land, I'm going to build, I'll make a bit of money on that and sell it.
And they declare the income thinking they're doing the right thing, which is part of it.
Yep, so they've paid the capital gains tax, but the portion they've missed is the fact that it's new residential and there's GST on it.
Mm.
And that gets missed probably majority of the time.
And, you know, that can be quite considerable.
It can be huge, as you said, one eleventh of the property. You know, if you've only made a small profit from it, didn't work out as well as you thought, technically your profit could be gone. You've done all that work.
Yeah.
So it's very important to understand these things.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, on the contrary to that, you can claim the GST on, you know, the building cost and that sort of stuff
along the way. Yeah.
But there's still, you know, a debt there that has to be paid for GST, and GST is a big one, and I think that's going to be a ticking time bomb right now.
It will be, and again, that's another area that, you know, the tax office are continuously auditing. They do a lot of audits around GST and, again, the data matching side of things there.
Yeah. So let's look at some other data matching things that they do. They obviously look at car registrations and boat registrations and all of that kind of stuff and work out whether you can afford to be buying that stuff.
Yeah. So, again, they're looking at your lifestyle. So if you own this Ferrari and, again, you're declaring $20,000 worth of income...
And you put a picture of it on Facebook.
Even if you don't, they've got that information
now.
I think they're now looking at every car purchase over 10 grand, I think it was.
Wow.
So that's not a huge amount of money to spend on a car anyway.
No, it's pretty low.
So, that's huge.
And even, I guess, if you're putting the Ferrari into a trust... but there's pictures of you on Facebook, you know, zipping around on the Ferrari, they're going to say, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, don't put your whole life on social media. That's the point.
But there's other data matching too with government departments like Centrelink.
Yep.
Like the child banks. Maintenance.
Child maintenance is a huge one because a lot of people try and avoid that one.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got a lot of information there on that. Banks is another one that's come out probably about 6 months to a year ago where the tax office has access to all debit and credit cards. And it started off with a few banks. I had a look at the list, and to be honest, I think there was majority of banks that were on there. And it's now extended even further to, for example, HSBC, where you've got a Singapore bank account, because a lot of people would be like, I'm going to, you know, set up an offshore bank account being Singapore or wherever else. Singapore bank accounts are now tracked here. So good luck. So wow. they've taken it really, really far with things like that.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is something that, you know, obviously it's becoming a bigger and bigger thing, and there's a lot of money being thrown at it because, you know, we look at the budget deficit and things like that, and the government saying we want more money in, and all of these task forces are being produced to basically, you know, act as big brother on whether you're declaring the right amount or not.
And get this money in. That's exactly what they're doing.
And the cash economy's been, you know, a target for a long time.
Yeah, that's a big ongoing one, so...
Yeah. The other thing, of course, that they perhaps should be focusing a little more on is the top end of town.
Yes, well, that would help. Look, they're still throwing money at that, but they really are looking at the lower end now, because I think for so long, you know, the average person was sort of self-assessing, as you said, and doing their own thing and missing things. And I think they've found this gap now, and with all this data matching, there's just heaps of money that's been missed that they can now get back.
Come into, yeah. And at the top end of town, the other thing is that, you know, there's enough money involved that they'll throw money at litigation and keep the tax office in litigation for quite a long time.
Yep, exactly right.
Okay, so what other things are they actually data matching at the moment that you've heard
of? Okay, so they're probably the majority of things. There was another one that came out last week with the tax office, and this is sort of a data matching thing, but it's where you've got a tax office debt, so I think it's important to mention. And this is commencing from 1st of July 2017, and what the tax office is saying is that where you've got a debt with them, it's now going to hit the credit agency. So they're now liaising with them, and that could hit your credit record, which means if you're trying to do property deals or anything else, you may not be able to get finance because it's hit your credit record.
Wow.
So the tax office have the theory that they feel like their debts are getting put off and every other creditor is getting paid first and they're not. So now they're tackling it by trying to hit you hard with your credit record.
Good Lord. What are some of the things that they're targeting at the moment for review?
So you've got the normal things, as in a lot of property expenses, they always try and target that. And again, they're looking at things like, are you claiming things that are private? So if you've got interest, for example, for a rental property, but it might be a split loan where part of it relates to your PPR or something personal, and you're claiming all of that against a rental property. So that's one thing that they're always looking at.
Yeah.
So any portion of expenses for rental properties that are actually private, that's a huge target. Cash economy, we've sort of spoken about. With capital gains tax, that's probably still a huge one. So where you've, you know, done a development, technically it's a development, but you've been taxed or you've included it in your tax return as if it was capital gains tax, and claiming the 50% GST discount when you've held a property for more than 12 months. But really, you were a developer. The actions, your intent, everything you did was being a developer. So they're going back and going, well, you shouldn't have paid capital gains tax. You actually should have paid GST and income tax. Mm. So two different taxes there, which would have made the liability a lot larger.
Yeah. And work-related expenses.
Work-related expenses, again, that's always one they target. So previously they were looking at specific occupations, not so much actual specific deductions, whereas now they're looking closely at things like electronic devices. So things like your iPads, mobile phone use, internet usage, these are things that you need to keep very good records of and have diaries for each of those things. And generally you're looking at four-week diaries for things like mobile phone and internet.
Is that every year?
Every year you've got to do that. So it's a little bit painful. It's a bit like home
office. Painful for a very small deduction.
Yeah, especially with home office expenses. So that's, you know, 4 weeks every year and you get 45 cents per hour. So the claim's generally about $180 for a large amount of usage. Is it worth it? That's really up to you. But if you're claiming it, you need to have these diaries every year.
And obviously, well, while we're on the subject of diaries, things on motor vehicle expenses and things like that all got to be in a logbook.
That's right. So logbook's a bit different. 12 consecutive weeks in the same financial year, and you've got to record every trip that you do for a logbook.
And this is where, you know, if things have been tripped up and things have been missed and whatever else, they, you know, own up and go back and have your assessments redone.
Yep, so we can go back and amend the last 2 years. So if we need to look at anything, then, you know, we can go back and definitely do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a bit of stuff for you guys on the data matching. Big Brother really is watching you.
Big Brother is watching everything. It's scary.
It is really scary. By the time you take this into account with the tax office, and then you take into account, you know, the NSA in America listening in on everything, it's sort of like, my God, you can't even turn around without somebody listening
in. I'm sure there's cameras in the street as well as you're walking past. Yeah, I know. That's why I said.
Oh, good Lord. We live in a nanny state, I tell you. Okay, guys, well, that's it from us. Thank you, Carmel, for coming on.
Thanks very much.
Good little discussion on a very important topic. So, guys, I'll be back again to talk to you on another topic. As I say, if you're enjoying these webinars, tell your mates. Get them on board. Get them listening. They're all free, and I'll send one out about every week. So you'll have lots of different things to actually sit there and listen to. Some things are inspirational. Other things, is you just got to know this stuff. You know, this is stuff you got to know, like we did today.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely. So that's it for me, guys. I'll be back again to talk to you very, very soon. And once again, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye for now.